They say you can give a man a fish and feed him for one meal, teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. Same goes with pickles. You give a man a jar of pickles, and he'll eat for a little while, and you give him a recipe, and he can eat for a good lifetime. Good, delicious pickles. This week, we've been very blessed to have many people bring us produce from their gardens. And Dwight brought us some corn, and Delmar brought us some food, and we went down to his place and picked some corn, and that was a lot of fun, unless you ask the children. But we had some delicious pickles from Elroy. Thank you very much, Elroy. We really, really enjoyed those. I love pickles, and those have to be my favorite I've ever had in my entire life. Those are delicious. So thank you, Elroy and Ruth, for those pickles. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. The passage that we're going to be looking at this morning is following the day after Jesus fed the 5,000. And it must have been a really good meal, too, because they got up the next morning and they immediately start looking for Jesus. Where is that guy? So we're going to pick up the story there. We've had the feeding of the 5,000. We've had Jesus is walking on the water that night as well. And so this is the next day. And if you'd like to stand, we're going to read John chapter 6, verses 22 through 40. Says, on the following day, when the people were standing on the other side of the sea, Jesus had already crossed over, saw that there was no other boat there except the one that which the disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. You may be seated. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. So we see this story here. We're thinking of last week when we talked about Jesus is the living water. meeting with the Samaritan woman. Jesus is a great preacher. He takes the small things around that people see, that people can relate to, and he gives them spiritual truths. But like we talked about last week, so often our focus is not up here, it's right down here, focused on ourselves. And instead of seeing this profound truth that Jesus is teaching, people are more concerned about their bellies than their heavenly spirit. And he calls him out on the carpet. We see that he says, I say to you that you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves of bread and were filled. Like a stray cat, you put out a little food and you got a pet for life, right? Or a dog. I remember one of our first dogs that I had growing up. His name was Bear. He was a mix of a lab and about probably 10 other dogs. And he showed up on our doorstep one day, and we put some food out there, and he never left. And he was a great dog, too. I'm not complaining. But Jesus is saying, you are seeking me not because I'm some teacher, not because I've done these signs and you want to see more signs. Although they do want to see more signs. We'll get to that in a minute. He says, you are seeking me because I fed you and you want to eat again. You're more concerned about me than about what's really going on here. You see, Jesus sees our hearts too. He sees why we're here this morning. He can look down deep into our soul. And we put on a facade for other people to see. We might fill out our notes so people think we're paying attention. We might sing the songs loudly so people think, wow, he's really into this. But see, Jesus knows. He knows where we're at. He knows when we're not paying attention because we're thinking about other things. We're thinking about what's for lunch today. We're thinking about how am I going to pay this bill. We're thinking about I wish this would happen. I wish that would happen. We put on a facade. But you can't put on a facade for Christ. He knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows your every thought, your every wish, your every longing, your every desire. He knows what's good for you. He knows what's bad for you. He knows you. He sees our selfish desires. The crowd that day was there out of selfish desires. And so often we come to church with selfish desires. Lord, bless me. Lord, what can you do for me today? Lord, provide the things that I need this week. Lord, it's not what can I do for you, right? The old quote, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Well, we could probably say the same thing of God, right? So often we're focused on what can I get? And instead of what should I be doing? But Jesus sees it, and he knows what we need. Jesus sees what we want. He sees what the crowd wanted, but he sees what they needed. And what they needed was not physical. It was spiritual. They needed to be fed spiritually. Because spiritually they were dead. And that is why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus wanted to give them real bread. Something that has lasting value. Something that will not fade, but really, really sustain, really nourish. And we saw last week what Jesus said about the bread, which is to do the will of the Father. And he continues on that he is here to do the will of the Father. He says, this is the will of the Father, that who sent me, that all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I love these two verses because again shows this somewhat confusing, but yet true, that God is totally responsible for salvation. None comes to the Father except those who are drawn by the Father. We must be drawn. But yet at the same time, he says, everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have everlasting life. There's a dualism. There is God is totally responsible, and yet we are totally responsible. If we do not believe, we have no excuse. There's no pointing fingers at God on judgment day. It's totally our responsibility of whether we will enter into his kingdom or not. And Jesus says, I will not lose a single one who's been given to me. Not a single one. Jesus knows what we need. He knows what we need today too. He's still alive. He's up in heaven, advocating for us at the right hand of God. And he knows what we need. And today, it's spiritual. We need to think spiritually. We need to get off of our physical bent, and we need to open our minds to what is spirit. Also, Jesus sees the unbelief of the crowd. We see that they're there because they want to see Jesus give them some more meals, right? More bread. It must have been good. I bet it was. Let's start again in chapter 6, verse 41. It says, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? And Jesus answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, as he who eats the bread will live forever. He who eats the bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So we see the Jews are confused. Who is this guy? He says he's bread from heaven. And then he's saying, I have come down from heaven. Wait a second. We know who this guy is. He's Joseph and Mary's son. How can he say he came down from heaven? They're confused by him. But they're thinking physical. They're thinking physical. Here, material. Jesus is saying over to them the same message, and it's going right over their heads. Because they're not thinking in the right context. We do the same thing. We want a sign from God. They said, give us a sign. He had just fed them the day before, fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He walked on the water the night before. And they say, give me a sign that you are the Christ. Give us food from heaven like our fathers ate in the desert. And then we will believe. Don't we do that today? Don't we do that to God? He says, he gives us a mission. He lays something on our heart. And then we say, well, I don't know if that's really what God wants us to do. We need a sign. God, show us this is really what you want us to do. And he confirms it. Maybe it's through somebody else saying, hey, we should do this. Well, that's not really a sign. God, give me a real sign. And so the opportunity comes. God gives you that, gives you another sign, another affirmation. Yes, this is what you're supposed to be doing. I'm not quite sure if that was really the sign or not. Huh. How would I know if this was really the sign? This is what the people are doing. We don't understand God's plan. We don't understand God's plan. Because we're not thinking spiritual. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. We think about what we want. We think about what we think we need. And we don't think about heavenly things. We don't think about spiritual things. We don't think about where people are in our community spiritually. We don't understand God's plan. And yet God gives us Himself. Jesus is speaking to the people of His death. He is ministering to them. He fed them the day before. He's telling them of their great spiritual need. But what is He talking about? He's talking about His own demise. His own death. He's saying, I am going to die so that you may live. And they don't get it. They don't get it. He repeats Himself over and over again. I am the bread of life. You need me. The world today desperately needs a Savior. We are in turmoil. We have wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, floods, death, suicide. A world that desperately needs God. And what are we concerned about? Jesus is concerned about us. He's concerned about what matters, and that is our spiritual need. The most important thing in our lives right now. Therefore, many of His disciples, when they heard of this saying of, you must drink my blood and eat my flesh. When many of the disciples heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples complained about this, He said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where He was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray Him. And He said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in this passage of what does Jesus mean by eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Isn't that cannibalism? Well, yeah, if we're talking physically, it is cannibalism. That's the problem with us. We're always thinking physically. Jesus is trying to illuminate our understanding. He's trying to open our minds. He's saying, I subsist. My very existence is dependent upon the Father. He says, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." He says, if you want to live, if you want to have eternal life, it's only going to come through me. You must feed on me. Your subsistence. How long can you live without water? How long can you live without food? I can tell you, you can live shorter amount of time without God. Our very existence is dependent upon God. And Jesus is telling these people, I am God. I am that one who gives you life. And I want to give you eternal life. But yet, all we're worried about is what is for dinner this afternoon? What's for lunch this afternoon? Jesus chose us. God chose us. We chose Him. And yet so often we live our lives defeated because we can't get past ourselves. There's this illustration that I was reading in preparation for this sermon. It was of a preacher, and I don't really like the illustration. That's why I wasn't going to use it. But I think the point can be made in a different way. This preacher was preaching. He was over in another country. And he was preaching. This woman came to him. And she said, "I had a dream and I spoke to Jesus in my dream." Well, like if somebody came to me and said that, I would be very skeptical. And he was too. But he had a problem, a sin in his life that he had done many years ago that he had not forgiven himself for. He was holding on to it. And evidently, the devil was using it to cause doubt in his life. And so the preacher said, "Well, if you're really talking to Jesus in your dreams, ask Jesus what sin I committed at this time in my life when I was a youth." So the lady left and she came back, and the next time he saw her, he asked her, did you speak to Jesus in your dream? And she said, "Yes." "What did he say?" "About the sin that I committed." "Well, I asked him that question, what sin he committed, and Jesus said, I don't remember." The point's the same. I don't really necessarily believe in that avenue of things, but the point is the same. God has forgiven us. He has called us for a purpose. He has chosen us to live victorious lives, to go out and be a shining light for Him, an example to this world who is in darkness. And yet we live in darkness ourselves. We put the darkness on ourselves. We cast it on ourselves because we do not want that bread. It's powerful. We can very easily be offended by our God. Verse 66 says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. You know, we ourselves think we have a picture of what God should be. And when God does not live up to our expectations, we stop believing and become angry. Things in our life happen and we say, why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this? And we become bitter towards God. Sometimes we want to go away. Jesus asked the 12, He says, do you want to go away too? And I tell you this today, many have already left. Many have gone away from the true faith. They have mixed Christianity, the true faith, with today's politically correct version of humanism. They are willing to change the Bible. They are willing to change the gospel and the need for Christ to become more palatable to the world around. We'll give up anything. We don't need this so much. It's just the stories of books of people that are just trying to make our lives better. There's a bunch of ways out there. This is just one. We've watered down. We've filtered out. We've concentrated and super concentrated. Commercialized. Until we've totally left the true gospel that Jesus gave to us, which is His body and His blood. All so we can have people look at us and say, oh, that's very nice. No, that is not right. And we must be like Peter. We must respond, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Sure, evil will happen to us. Trying times will come. But if we will accept the good by the hands of God, will we not accept evil as well? Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we see that so oftentimes we approach You. We approach our spiritual life out of pure selfishness, out of pure desire for You to fulfill our wants and desires. But Lord, that is not why You came to earth. That is not why You came here. You came here to fulfill our needs. You came to give us more than we could ever want. But we have to get past ourselves. We have to put those things down and to seek You with our whole hearts. Only then will we find You. Only then will we find where You are working today. Lord, I pray that You would give us that spiritual insight. I pray that You would give us that spiritual understanding. Most importantly, Lord, remove the pride from our lives so that we can see You more clearly and love You more deeply. Lord, no matter what happens to us in this life, may we always say, Lord, that You have the words of eternal life, and to whom shall we go? Because You are the only place. You are the only assurance that we can have of eternal life. Lord, we thank You for Your bread, Your blood. As we celebrate communion here in just a minute, Lord, We were reminded of what you did on the cross. Lord, you came to do that. You didn't come down to teach us, to confound us. You didn't come down to make us wander. You came down to give us what we are in need of. And you are still doing that today. And we are reminded by that. Lord, thank you so much. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.